Would you pray with me again, please? Father in heaven, thank you for the hymns which we sing. Thank you for the words which you have moved men and women to write, for the melodies that you have given that run through our minds with such joy and such comfort. Thank you, Father, too, for your word, the word that is given to us with the promise that though heaven and earth passes away, your word will never pass away. Not one I will go undotted, nor one T uncrossed of the things that you have promised and you have maintained. Lord, I thank you for the depth of your word, that it deals not only with big, broad principles, but it deals with the specifics of our lives. I thank you, Father, for the contemporary truth of your word, that no matter what generation it might be in or what nation we might reside in, that your word is still true everywhere. And I pray, Father, that tonight that the impact of that word would be felt upon our minds and upon our lives. We ask you, Lord, to move our thinking in accordance with your Holy Spirit, and that as we hear what you say and we are convinced and convicted in your word, we pray, Father, that you would get glory unto your name through your presence here this evening. Teach us your way that we might stand fast in your truth. In Jesus' name I pray, and amen. I want to ask you tonight to turn with me to the book of Proverbs and the 15th chapter. We have been going through a study of some subjects that are addressed in various places within the writings of Solomon and those Proverbs that he had gathered together. They're not all the subjects. All of a subject is not dealt with in one chapter. It's not a subject on this chapter and then a subject on that chapter, but it is spread throughout the book. One of the things I want you to look with me tonight is the subject that we're given through the scriptures in Proverbs that tell us some things that are better for us. I'm thinking about the use of that term that's in so much of our advertising today. Think about the old magazine, Better Homes and Gardens. Think about the company that advertises now that's Better Living Through Chemistry. Think about the fact that much of our advertisement is, oh, we're always coming up with something that's better than what you had yesterday. One of the problems with that is their scheme is to make you dissatisfied with what you have. One of the things I want you to understand is that God gives us some things that we're told are better for us, that rather than create a dissatisfaction in our life, can give us a great comfort and satisfaction in our life. If you will, go with me to Proverbs chapter 15 and look for two verses tonight, verses 16 and 17, as our initial text verses. Verses 16 and 17 from Proverbs chapter 15. Better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Now, those are two verses in which that expression, better is given to us. That word better translates from a word which at its root means good, but it can be used with varying degrees. Better, best, but along with it seems to be the idea that comes that when that word better is used, it can be extended to think better for us. I want to tell you that things that God tells us in His Word are better for us than things that are put out by man. God's Word is better for us. And the promises that are given to us, though they don't line up with what might be popular, they don't fall in place with what may be widely accepted. But what God says is better for us. Now think for a moment about what's said in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 16. The first thing that's better for us is simply our relationship in the reverence of God. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord. A little is never thought to be enough, is it? A little means I'm lacking something. A little means it's not sufficient. But what God wants us to understand is that it's better for us to live having only a little bit with the fear of the Lord than it is to live having great riches and trouble because of it. Now think about that. Great riches often bring trouble. One of the things that Solomon said in the book of Proverbs is that riches tend to make wings and fly away. One of the great troubles that comes with abundant wealth is often the idea, well, I've got it now, I've got to hang on to it, and it becomes a weight that hangs around our neck as I've got to hang on. Oh, I can't lose it. If I do this, I won't have as much. I won't have enough. God says it's better for us to live in the reverence and the fear of God, knowing that He in His sovereignty and in His supremacy is the one who is able to provide all things that we need. And it's better to live in our life having only what I need for today and to live in the joy of the Lord than it is to have a whole bunch of possessions and worry about losing them. That seems to go hand in hand with covetousness. Thou shalt not covet. Covetousness is a sin that turns our attention away from the Lord and to things. It turns the importance away from the sovereignty of God in His love for us and His care for us to focus on the things that we see. The world around us would tell us that we're better off the more we have. I would tell you we're better off the more we fear God. We're better off the more we trust in the Lord. David said, some men put their trust in horses or in military might. Some men put their trust in princes or in government. But I will trust in the name of the Lord my God. You see, folks, we're better off in the reverence of God, in the trust of God, even if I've only got today's bread. Well, isn't that what God promised me? Give us this day our daily bread. Take no thought for the morrow, what you shall eat, what you shall drink, or what you shall wear. For your Father in heaven knoweth that you have need of these things. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Why? Because God's going to take care of tomorrow. Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand. But I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. And I would tell you, folks, that the confidence in that reality will enable us to live better, knowing only I've got enough for today, than it would be to have enough for five lifetimes and worry about it all the time. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of wisdom, but it's also the beginning of peace in our lives. It's the best for us. Notice in verse 17, better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox. What's a stalled ox? It's not one that won't go. You know, you're driving down a road and the car quits, it's stalled. Well, that's not a stalled ox. The stalled ox is the fatted calf. It's the animal that's been put up in a stall or in a barn, and it's given all of its food right there. You know, some of the meat that we buy is grain fed. That's the one you look at and you see the nice red meat with all the marble-looking appearance to it. There's some meat that more people are beginning to look at today and to appreciate today is the grass-fed, the range-fed, where cattle roam in a pasture and eat rather than being closed up. Well, the closed-up ones will get fat faster. That's a stalled ox. But it brings its own set of problems. It does medically. It brings a higher probability of cholesterol and other things. People are starting to understand a little more about that. But that meat, when you put it on the steak on the grill, that steak sure does sizzle nice, and it sure does look good, and it cuts tender. And that's the stalled ox. But it's better just to have herbs. It's better to have a vegetarian diet out of necessity than it is to have a steak and a lot of problems that go along with it. It's better to have that herbs with love than to have the meat and have trouble and hatred and strife. Why is that so much better? Because the Lord said, we were to love one another as He loves us. You see, it's not just to say, well, I love my family. It is where love is, that is like God has loved me and like God has commanded me to love other people. It's a love that's built upon the example and the principle of God Himself. It is a selfless love. It is an other-centered love. It is a God-centered love. It's not a self-love where, well, I'll have my steak and be happy with me. No, it's where I'm willing to give what I have to somebody else. I'd rather eat English peas and lentils and those kind of things, and live in a loving relationship with my family and with other people, than to be so full of strife that I'm selfish and worried about me and have no concern for other people. You see, folks, the love of Christ and the love that God has to us, we love Him because He first loved us. We love other people because He first loved us. And we're better off living with His love than we are with the abundance of the world. Now, that's not an idea that you hear passed about too often today. Go with me back over to the 16th chapter of Proverbs just a moment, and notice with me verses 18 and 19. Verse 18 is a rather well-known verse. You hear it many times. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Well, there's a warning against pride. But what I want you to see is what connects with that is what's better for us than pride. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Pride leads to destruction. If we're dividing up what the proud have gotten by their own pride, then you can bet that it's not going to last very long. It's going to be that wealth that makes wings and fly away, because the proud are going to try to take it away from you for themselves. We're better off to live with an humble spirit. An humble spirit living with the lowly. And I understand that concept of living with the lowly is not just living with the just poor folks, but rather the other, the lowly spirit, the others of humble spirit. We have our fellowship with others who are humble about us and all recognize that what you have is not important. Who you are in the grace of God in Jesus Christ is what's important. And as we live with others, it's better to live, we're better off to live with an humble spirit than to try to profit by pride. And then look at again in chapter 16, but notice with me in verse 8. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Better is a little with righteousness. Who sets the standard for righteousness? It's God's standard. There's a lot of things that are said to be our rights. There's a lot of things that man says, well, I think this is right. I think that is right. Well, if I think one thing and you think a different thing, then which one's going to be right? I'm going to tell you that the ultimate standard of what is right is what God says is right. And it's better for us to live and have a little with righteousness. To live in the Lord's standard of righteousness. Than it is to have great revenues without what is right. Right is not a relative circumstance. Right is not what we can get away with. Right is not what we like. Right is what God declares. And by the way, brothers and sisters, if you haven't caught on yet, the best thing for us is the thing that God says is good for us. Not what we figure out. God's Word is the right Word. Look again at Proverbs chapter 21 and look at verse 3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice. Okay, now, let's look at that verse just a minute. Who wrote those words? Who put those words together? Under the leadership of the Holy Spirit? Solomon did. Okay, now, I want you to think a little bit about those words. There's a rather prominent connection with them why Solomon could make that statement by experience. Who was Solomon's father? King David. Who preceded David as king of the nation of Israel? David was Solomon's father. David was not Saul's son. God took
took the kingdom away from Saul and gave it to David. And if you go back over in 1 Samuel, and I think it's 1 Samuel chapter 15, Saul, in his pride and in his impatience and in his own arrogance, took it upon himself to offer the sacrifice to God that Samuel, the prophet, was coming to do the offering for. That was his job. Saul decided, well, I'm tired of waiting on him. I'm going to go ahead and do it this way. God had told Saul that he was to kill all the Amalekites and destroy their wealth because of their idolatry. But he kept it. Oh, the people wanted me to keep it. We'll keep it and sacrifice it to our God. God's answer to Saul was, to obey is better than sacrifice. Okay? Now, Solomon lived in the experience of knowing what happened with Saul. You think David didn't tell Solomon that history? You think Solomon didn't know about Saul's own sins that brought about the fall of his reign as the king? Look at what he says in this same chapter, 21 verse 3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than just making a sacrifice that means little to you. Judgment and justice. What was it that said in Proverbs chapter 16? Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without rise. Better is. Why is it better? It's more acceptable in God's sight to do justice and judgment. Not judgment saying, well, I'm better than you are. Judgment as in determining how you treat other people based on the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity. Now, what was it? Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished, but he that gathereth by labor shall increase. Wealth gotten by vanity, emptiness, ungodly ways, unrighteous ways, wealth gotten wrongly will diminish. Better it is to live with and to be satisfied with the little that you may have and live in righteousness than it is to want abundance and then get it in an unrighteous way. You see, God's view of our bank account, God's view of our possessions, and the view that God wants us to have of those things is different than the world around us has. Is it wrong to work? Nope. Labor wealth that's gotten by labor, by ingathering, it will increase. God will bless that. So it's not wrong to work. It's not wrong to have a job. It's not wrong to save what you earn. It's not wrong to manage the wealth that God gives you. He's given it to you. You have it because He gives it to you, little or much. But just remember, like the old song says, little is much if God is in it. But it's better to strive by God's right way and be only a little successful in this world than it is to
get rich by vanity and watch it go away from you. You see, our fear of the Lord, the love of the Lord, the love that the Lord has given to us that we're to show to others, righteousness in our lives, these are better for us than the world standards. And I'll give you one more. Proverbs 19, verse 1. Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips and is a fool. Dishonesty doesn't match up with integrity. Better is a man, even if he's a poor man, we're better off as a poor man walking in the integrity of our heart and in the righteousness of the Lord than we are to distort things, which is what I understand the idea of the perverse lips, speaking distortion, speaking untruth, speaking twisted words. We're better to walk in integrity. You remember what, I think it was it, chapter 22? There's that page. Chapter 22, verse 1. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, and loving favor rather than silver and gold. Walking in integrity and a good name are very much synonymous. Integrity, that in which you live in honesty and uprightness. Look in chapter 19, verse 22. The desire of a man is his kindness, and a poor man is better than a liar. What was the perverseness? What was the perverseness of his words? Better is the poor that walketh in his integrity than he that is perverse in his lips. Dishonesty, better than a poor man. It's better to be an honest poor man than it is a liar that has to remember all the bad stories that he's told so he can try to keep his words straight. Because they'll come back and bite you. Because you can't remember all the different things that you said. That's where the perverseness comes in. That's where lying becomes a problem, because you tell this story to this person and that story to that person. You're better off being a poor man and walking in your integrity than you are a man whose words become distorted. Proverbs chapter 28. Verse 6. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Now think about those verses, brothers and sisters. The things that God says that is better for us in our lives is the fear of the Lord and the recognition of His sovereignty and His power in our lives, is the love of the Lord and the love that we're to have for one another, is the integrity and honesty of our lives, and is a little with righteousness. It's better for us to live righteously and to live uprightly. I think of the words that the prophet Micah said, He hath showed thee, O man, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, to love mercy,
and to walk humbly with thy God. Our humble spirit. Better to have an humble spirit than a proud frame of mind. Now, beloved, those things are not the worldly and widely taught point of view today. But I would say to you tonight, I'll take this book in its truth over the ideas that are put out that get repackaged and changed and tried again and don't work any better the second, third, fourth, 500th time than what they did to start with. When God tells us that something's better for us, then first of all, when we have it, we ought to be content with it. It's better that I have a little, a dinner of herbs where there's love. I'd be more content with the dinner of herbs, knowing that I'm loved by God and that I have the love of a family and that I can love one another and that you love me. I ought to be more content with that than becoming discontented because I don't have what somebody else has. If an humble spirit and an upright integrity are better for me than riches gotten through vanity, then I ought to be desirous and contented with an humble spirit and an upright heart. If God tells me that something is better for me than something else, then how do I think? How dare I think that I know more than God does and decide that what I want is better than His way? Brothers and sisters, God knows best for us. He is an all-wise God. He is a loving God. He is a perfect God. And He knows what's best for us. When He says, better is, then may we commit ourselves to walk by His judgment. He says to us that we're to follow Jesus Christ. We're to believe in Him. We're to take our cross and follow Him daily. We're to repent and be baptized. We're to live as part of the family of God in His church here in the earth. Those are things that He tells us that are good for us. May we commit ourselves to walk in His way, is my prayer for Christ's sake. We're going to stand together tonight and sing a final hymn. As we sing, the doors of the church are open if you would come and follow the Lord Jesus Christ in that path that He says is best for us, to take our cross and follow Jesus in His way. Then you come as we stand and sing.